हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Shloka Anusharana, page 10, chapter 2, The Symptoms of Kali Yuga. Summary of verses 1 to 16, Symptoms of the Age of Kali. 17 to 25, Kalki Avatar. 26 to 44, The Duration of Kali Yuga. Verses 1 to 16, Symptoms of the Age of Kali. Sukadeva Goswami said, Then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, and memory will all be diminished day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered the sign of a man's good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities. And law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. And so we see is that these are just natural symptoms that are there. We're thinking, no, no, but this is all unjust, this and that. But this is just how the age works. Mm-hmm. Right? So the only way to adjust that is only in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right? Because devotional service is the only thing that can go beyond these things. Mm-hmm. But within the framework that you're working in, it's still going to work like this. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like law and justice. Only based on one's power. So whoever's in power, then everything works for their favor. And then the people who it's not working in their favor for, then they'll complain. Yeah. Now, if they get the opportunity to get powerful enough to rise up and take over, they'll do exactly the same thing. It's not that it's going to be different. We'll say it's different, but it won't be different. You know? That's the whole point. It doesn't change because it's the age. So the only thing can change that is devotional service. So this idea that we need all this, justice and all these things within the society. No, we need Krishna consciousness. That will develop all these things. Because you in Kali Yuga, you can't develop these things separately. Because the guy in charge isn't interested. And he's the boss. Does that make sense? So Kali, this is the way he works. And we see his money is considered everything. It means you have money, then that's good birth, that's proper behavior, that's fine qualities. So whatever goes with the person that has money, that's then considered the finities. And if someone's cultured but doesn't have money, then, he's a nice guy, but, The BBT purport states, In the age of Kali, a man is considered high class, middle class, or low class, merely according to his financial status. Regardless of his knowledge, culture, and behavior. According to Vedic criteria, man is considered high class if his behavior is enlightened. His behavior is considered enlightened if his activities are dedicated to promoting the happiness of all creatures. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. Right? Yeah, so in other words, it's just the bodily attraction, that will be why people will live together. Right? It's not because of the duty, depth of the relationship, all these different things. Because duty means that there's something higher. But this is just the superficial. Success in business will depend on deceit. Right? Because how much money you can make, that's success, not just a standard amount. Right? Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. And a man will be known as a brahmana just by his wearing a thread. Right? You wear a thread? Oh, he's a Brahmin. Sometimes you see is that when they go to the bathroom, they don't put the thread back. They leave it out so you can tell that they're a Brahmin because how they're dressed, you wouldn't know.
Yes.
So you can see, yeah. Yeah, so womanliness, manliness is based on sex. It's not on character. It's not on the fine qualities. Right? So therefore, all the different things on, how you say, trying to bring out the position of men and women is also based on the same position. Yes. It's not about character. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. And on the same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. Right? So you go from one position to the other, simply the external. That's all. That's the only way you tell. The brahmachari went from a brahmachari to grihastha, simply the change in the clothes. That to the vanaprastha, like this, the change in the clothes. Yeah. The external. We won't judge by the character, the qualities, and all those kind of things. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or someone's more serious because he wears a dhoti, someone's less serious because they don't. That's the only way it'll be judged, rather than the character of how Krishna conscious they are. Right? But it's not that people in this age don't also function on this level. They're more serious than they follow the externals. You know, just because that's how the age works. But
it's always the secondary.
It's always, it means everything you'll notice is all about the secondary, right? Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. The secondary, not the primary, is that the duties between man and woman. Business will be on deceit, right? Because it's half truth, half lie. So it'll be on the half lie part rather than on the half truth part. Womanly and manliness will be judged according to expertise in sex, not on what their duties are, how well they can, you know, perform them, right? Like that. So it's all external. That's the thing, is that it gets more and more external as the age goes. Right? The whole idea is that primary is about Krishna. And secondary, then it's not about Krishna. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. Right? There's something wrong with him. He's not earning a good living, right? And one who is very clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money. And hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Right? It means you're doing something, but you speak nicely, even though you're doing the opposite, you'll still be considered virtuous. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement. And, so this doesn't mean arranged marriage. This is just that, what are you doing after the program? Want to go out for coffee? Yeah, sure. That's verbal agreement. Does that make sense? That's how it works. And a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. That's good, right? Doesn't even mention if his clothes are clean, just he's taken a bath. Right? A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance. That's a holy place is over there, right? Yeah. It's not the place, the activities, the. And beauty will thought to be dependent on one's hairstyle.
Yes.
Wow. This is all good. And this is all being spoken a while ago. Filling the belly will become the goal of life. And one who is audacious will be accepted as truthful. But if you're just outspoken, then people will take it, oh yeah. It works. You know, if you just speak louder than everybody else and you're always aggressive about it, then people just start to accept it. Oh, this guy knows what's going on. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man, right? He can actually pay the bills and not get, you know, thrown out on the street. And the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. Right? So in other words, it'll only be observed when people can see it. Right? Because if they can't see, what's the point? Right? As the earth thus becomes crowded with a corrupt population, whoever among any of the social classes shows himself to be the strongest will gain political power. Yeah, so interesting, because before it was say, oh, the leaders become corrupt and so like this, then it comes down, the people are like that. And you think, no, there's so many nice people. But then when we read how they're considered nice, then you go, okay. It's exact, right? Losing their wives and properties to such avaricious and merciless rulers, who will behave no better than ordinary thieves. The citizens will flee to the mountains and forests. Harassed by famine and excessive taxes, people resort to eating leaves, roots, flesh, wild honey, fruits, flowers, and seeds. Struck by drought, they will become completely ruined. But it's already bad, and then there's drought, right? You know? The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain, and snow. Right? Because before, you know, things were, it would be more balanced, the weather, things like that. They would have facilities, they'd be able to take care. So you didn't suffer from these things. They were there, but you had facility. They'll be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease, and severe anxiety. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. You know, it's 100 is the thing, but it'll go down to 50. Like you see now, starting, I think here in India, 50 is pretty standard. You know, you get a heart attack at 50, right? You know, so.
Even at
25. Yeah. Well, it'll go down. At the end, it'll be even shorter. I think 20 you're considered an old man at 20, right? By the time the age of Kali ends, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size, and the religious principles of followers of Varnashram will be ruined. The path of the Vedas will be completely forgotten in human society, and so-called religion will be mostly atheistic. Kings will mostly be thieves. The occupations of men will be stealing, lying, and needless violence, and all the social classes will be reduced to the lowest level of Shudras. Cows will be like goats, right? So that means little dinky cows will be this big, right? Yeah. Spiritual hermitages will be no different from mundane houses, and family ties will extend no further than the immediate bonds of marriage. Like you always see some aspects there, the nuclear family. They even give it a nice name, right? The nuclear, but it's like, no. Most plants and herbs will be tiny, and all trees will appear like dwarf sami trees. You know, means that's now for us. Because, yeah, it just keeps going down, 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 like that. When we went up north, you go into the Arctic Circle, then everything's getting smaller up there also. And they say as you go up, then the trees will only be about, you know, a meter high. Trees that'll be, you know, 10, you know, 30 meters high farther down in the same country up in the north of the Arctic Circle, they'll only be a meter high. And they're old. It's not that it's a small tree. You know, that's a 100-year-old tree. So that's up there. But that it'll be like that down here. Everything will be small. Right?
So now the passion to get them and grow again.
Oh, okay. They get those and then grow. Okay. Okay. It's just, how you say, brings in that flavor of Kali Yuga, right? You know, just, clouds will be full of lightning. Homes will be devoid of piety, and all human beings will have become like asses. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the earth, acting with the power of pure spiritual goodness. He will rescue eternal religion. Verses 17 to 25. Kalti Avatar. Not a whole lot of comments on this part. Right? Sukadev Goswami continued. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of all moving and non-moving living beings, and the supreme soul of all, takes birth to protect the principles of religion and to relieve his saintly devotees from the reactions of material work. Lord Kalki will appear in the home of the most eminent Brahmana of Shambhala village, the great soul Vishnu Yasa. Shambhala, was that mentioned before?
Yes.
Is that up in Badrik Ashram? Is that the one next to Badrik Ashram? Is that the one mentioned?
Bihar. It is in Bihar.
Shambhala is in Bihar. Oh, okay. So I guess we should stop goofing on Biharis, right? Born in a Bihari Brahmin family.
But now some people said it is also in between Delhi and Haridwar.
Maybe Bihar becomes bigger. Lord Kalki, the Lord of the Universe, will mount his swift horse, Devadatta, and, sword in hand, travel over the earth, exhibiting his eight mystic opulences and eight special qualities of Godhead. Displaying his unequaled effulgence and riding with great speed, he will kill by the millions those thieves who had dared dress as kings. So by the millions. So one means that everything will become really small. You probably won't have big, big countries. So you just have the little guy, his house and backyard, that's his own country or something like that. Yeah. But they'll be like that, plus all the people who are assisting him, so his warriors and all that, all five of them, right? After all the imposter kings have been killed, the residents of the cities and towns will feel the breezes carrying the most sacred fragrance of the sandalwood paste and other decorations of Lord Vasudeva, and the minds will thereby become transcendentally pure. Mm-hmm. Then, Lord, by smelling the fragrance coming from the Lord, then they'll be elevated. When Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in their hearts in his transcendental form of goodness, the remaining citizens will abundantly repopulate the earth. When the Supreme Lord has appeared on earth as Kalki, the maintainer of religion, Satyuga will begin, and human society will bring forth progeny in the mode of goodness. When the moon, the sun, and Brihaspati are together in the constellation Karkata, and all three enter simultaneously into the lunar mansion Pushya, at that exact moment the age of Satya, or Krita, will begin. Right? So you can calculate that if you need to know a time. You can actually at what point that will be. Thus I have described all the kings, past, present, and future, who belong to the dynasties of the sun and moon, right? So they came down in the Kali Yuga, then you see it got a bit grungy, and then as you go in the future, it gets even more motley, right? And then Kalki comes, kills them all, and then by smelling the fragrance from the Lord's body, then everybody will be purified, then everything will move up again, and then Satyuga will start. So that ends what do you call it? That definition, because in the Purana, then you have to describe the sun and moon dynasties. And so he's done all the way to the age of Kali Yuga. Like that. Verses 26-44, the duration of Kali Yuga. Sukadeva Goswami continued, from your birth up to the coronation of King Nanda, 1,150 years will pass. Of the seven stars forming the constellation of the seven sages, Pulaha and Kratu are the first to rise in the night sky. If a line running north and south were drawn through their midpoint, whichever of the lunar mansions this line passes through is said to be the ruling asterism of the constellation for that time. The seven sages will remain connected with that particular lunar mansion for 100 human years. Currently, during your lifetime, they are situated in the nakshatra called Magha. Right? So, because they're fixed, the nakshatras, like that. And then the seven sages, those stars, so if you take the middle one and then draw north and south from that, whichever one is in that line, that's the one. And so for 100 years, it'll be there. Otherwise, it slowly, slowly adjusts. Right? These are all the different things. There's nothing that's just doesn't move. That's why everything's moving. Does that make sense? The planet's moving, this is moving, the earth is... Everything moves. It's like that. Chapter 2. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, a precise calculation of time is given in order to divine the beginning of Kali Yuga and its progress. Between the first two stars, Pulaha and Kratu, of the seven sages, shaped like a cart when seen at night, the constellations starting from Ashwini appear. Each constellation will remain for 100 years in that position. Now, during the time of Parikit, the constellation of the Magha. When Krishna is born, the constellation between between those, I guess.
Two stars.
Yeah, but a different two. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Two stars was Ashlesha. When the two stars' position in Ashlesha was finished and they entered Magha constellation, Kali Yuga began. Mm-hmm. When the seven sages reached Purva Shadha constellation, Kali will be flourishing. This will be understood later in the text. Right, so as it goes, as it moves, then it'll just go more and more. But at the same time, it mentions there then what it will be. Then you can calculate that again when all those planets are together, because they all move differently at different speeds, for them to all be exactly in line and then be in a particular constellation, because they might be in line in other constellations. But when they're in that constellation, then you know Satyuga has begun. Right, so like this, you can go back and calculate the beginning of Kali Yuga. You can go forward and begin and calculate the beginning of Satya. Yeah.
So everything is very defined.
Everything's defined because it's all by time. So it's not that it's a problem. You know, people get all that you can't calculate these things. You can very easily. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have to have the knowledge how to do it and then take the time, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Supreme Lord Vishnu is brilliant like the sun and is known as Krishna. When he returned to the spiritual sky, Kali entered this world, and people then began to take pleasure in sinful activities. As long as Lord Sri Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, touched the earth with his lotus feet, Kali was powerless to subdue this planet. Even though the time was there, he couldn't do anything. And Krishna said if he just left, then everybody out of separation would be so absorbed that they would remain Krishna conscious and everything would remain in its perfect state. So Kali again wouldn't be able to do. But if he arranges that this pastime, the Moshal Leela, how, you know, with this big fight and all that, they all kill each other and this and that, then people will make comments, and because they're making comments against the Yadus, it will reduce their piety, then Kali can do his job. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. One may object, but it is said that when Duryodhana began the gambling match during the Lord's advent at the junction of Dwapara, and when at the time he attempted to take off Draupadi's clothing, Kali, ordered by the Lord, took that auspicious moment to gain control of the earth. End quote. True, but at that time the influence was insignificant. Mm-hmm. He took his opportunity, but it's insignificant. When Krishna was present, the four legs of Dharma were also present, right? Even though it's Dwapara, there should only be two. All four were present. So how much can Kali do? When Krishna was present, the four legs of Dharma were also present, and people were completely happy. According to the statement of Earth herself, the strength of Dharma at that time was greater than during Treta Yuga. Mm-hmm. What then is the question of Kali conquering at that time? Because he's the junior of the four. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the constellation of the seven sages is passing through the lunar mansion Magha, the age of Kali begins. It comprises 1,200 years of the demigods. When the great sages of the Saptarishi constellation pass from Magha to Purva Shada, Kali will have his full strength, beginning from King Nanda and his dynasty. Those who scientifically understand the past declare that on the very day that Lord Krishna departed for the spiritual world, the influence of the age of Kali began. After the 1,000 celestial years of Kali Yuga, the Satyuga will manifest again. At that time, the minds of all men will become self-effulgent. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. This verse describes the entrance time of Satyuga. Chaturte means in Kali Yuga. Here it actually means that Satyuga will begin during the Sandhyamsha of Kali Yuga. Footnote 1. Vriti. The total number of Devata years for Kali Yuga is 1,200 years. The first Sandhya is 120 Devata's years, and the Sandhyamsha is 120 years. The middle portion is 960 Devata years, approximately 1,000. His Holiness Bhanuswami. You always have a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like you have day and night, and then there's the Sunday in between. So between the yugas, you always have a Sunday. Does that make sense? So then Kali Yuga that starts, there's still a Sunday. So that's why he says that after this time, when it goes into the next nakshatra, or this particular nakshatra, then it will be said to have full influence. Because otherwise it still has a little bit of influence left from Dwapara. Not much.
Yes.
And just like that last Sunday within in Dwapara, they'll start to have a little bit of influence of Kali. But because of Krishna's presence, then there was basically no influence.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
So now, after the King Nanda, means we enter the full Kali Yuga.
Seems to be.
Period.
Yeah. It seems to be. So after 1,000 years, was 1,000 years in, or was the thousand? Didn't say when. I think it was 1,000 years.
Thousand.
Hmm?
1,050.
Yeah. So that's quite a long time ago.
1,150.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's 1,000 into Kali Yuga. So it means 4,000 years ago, like that. You know. So then you can say. Because you see, is that the modern history? They don't take it back really beyond that. They'll talk 5, but they don't like to take it beyond 4 because they have information from 4. Because then people couldn't remember anything, so you started writing it down. And so then they have documentation. Because I think one of the rules in archaeology, if it's not actually written, they don't take it as real. Right? You know. So if there's an inscription, it's real, like that. So anything that's got an inscription on it, then they generally will take seriously. As long as it matches, of course, their theories. But the point is inscriptions. So from then you start to see inscriptions. Because otherwise these older dynasties and that, they go back, they don't really know anything about them. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thus I have described the royal dynasty of Manu, as it is known on this earth. One can similarly study the histories of the Vaishyas, Shudras, and Brahmanas living in the various ages. These personalities, who are great souls, are now known only by their names. They exist only in accounts from the past, and only their fame remains on earth. Devapi, the brother of Maharaj Shantanu, and Maru, the descendant of Ikshvaku, both possess great mystic strength, and are living even now in the village of Kalapa." So where's Kalapa? Not in Bihar. That's the one that's next to what do you call it? Badarik Ashram? Because it mentioned there was a village outside of where Narayan Rishi, so that's Kalapa. Okay, that makes sense. Because otherwise, who'd want to hang out in Bihar for the next 427,000 years, right?
Even now,
first
part of
Badarik
Ashram, the sages and all, they don't allow you to go. Not even for trekking and all.
Yeah. Well, what we know of also where the temple is, that's lower Badri.
Yes.
And then you have up, that's the higher. Mm-hmm. Oh, so, but you can't even go up there.
Madhavacharya.
Yeah. But he just walked on the mountaintops. it's probably not going to happen. We're going to get up there. Yeah, that, and they're pretty, you know, by the Lord's arrangement, no one will get there. At the end of Kali Yuga, these two kings, having received instruction directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, will return to human society and reestablish the eternal religion of man, characterized by the divisions of Varna and Ashrama, just as it was before. And so things get lost, and they come back again. That's just how it works. Everything goes, and it will all come. The knowledge is there, it will be, it's lost, and it gets revealed again, and then it's there. You know, the Pancharatri gets lost, Narad Muni reveals it again. So it's the Lord's arrangements are, you know, always going on.
And then, like, when we are preaching, how do we take this knowledge? The Kali Yuga will progress, and the inspiration to go on preaching.
What is our role?
As devotees,
we're part of the Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan mission. you know, so for the next 10,000 years, then the Sankirtan mission will go on, we take part in that. Then after that, then no use hanging around. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. This describes the method of reviving the destroyed line of kings. Devapi was in the Moon Dynasty. Right, so Devapi's in the moon, so that's Ikshvaku, then he's, you know, from the sun.
Yeah.
So you have sun and moon, the kings, and then they'll start the dynasties again. Sukadev Goswami continued. The cycle of four ages, Satya, Treta, Dvapara, and Kali, continues perpetually among living beings on this earth, repeating the same general sequence of events. Right, same general sequence. Slight little bit of adjustments and all that. You know, does that make sense? You know, so, you know how you say the Moulin Rouge is on that one particular street? You know, the next Kali Yuga might be one or two streets over. You know, like that. So, like that.
Nothing special.
Yeah, you know, this time it's got, you know, how you say, windmill on it. Next time it'll have something else there. You know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Same with the
every Kali Yuga you'll have some Sankirtan movement because the Krishna, his avatar will be as Lord Chaitanya, and so he's always preaching through the chanting of the holy names, so that will always be there every Kali Yuga. So every Yuga you have that Yuga avatar, and you have the Yuga Dharma, so that always goes on. So that way, even, you know, the spiritual also, all these things happen. But it's not that you have to be there next time. No, yeah. My dear King Parikit, all these kings I have described, as well as all other human beings, come to this earth and stake their claims. But ultimately, they all must give up this world and meet their destruction. Even though a person's body may now have the designation, quote-unquote, king, in the end, its name will be, quote-unquote, worms, quote-unquote, stool, or quote-unquote, ashes. What can a person who injures other living beings for the sake of his body know about his own self-interest, since his activities are simply leading him to hell? The materialistic king thinks, quote, this unbound earth was held by my predecessors and is now under my sovereignty. How can I arrange for it to remain in the hands of my sons, grandsons, and other descendants? Although the foolish accept a body made of earth, water, and fire as quote-unquote me, and this earth as quote-unquote mine, in every case they have ultimately abandoned both their body and the earth and passed away into oblivion. My dear King Parikit, all these kings who tried to enjoy the earth by their strength were reduced by the force of time to nothing more than historical accounts. Right? So you start off that he's thinking, this was my forefathers, it's mine now, how can I arrange that it goes on to my descendants? But as pointed out, it's not going to work out that way. They all abandon their position, they all die, and then it just moves on. It's just the way the world works. The BBT purport states, the word Rajan, O King, is significant in this verse. Parikit Maharaj was preparing to give up his body and go back home, back to Godhead. As Sukadev Goswami, his most merciful spiritual master, devastated any possible attachment that he might have to the position of king by showing the ultimate insignificance of such a position. By the causeless mercy of the spiritual master, one is prepared to go back home, back to Godhead, right? Otherwise, he may be thinking about this and that, and who will carry on, right? The spiritual master teaches one to relax one's strong grip on the material illusion and leave the kingdom of Maya behind, right? Because whether we're a king or not, we think we are. Lord of my household. I'm the lord of my bedroom as long as my mom doesn't come in. Yeah. Yeah. Conclusion. Even though a person, yeah, we're the lord of the bathroom until someone starts banging on the door, right? Conclusion. Even though a person's body may now have the designation, quote-unquote, king, in the end its name will be worms, stool, or ashes. What can a person who injures other living beings for the sake of his body know about his own self-interest? since his activities are simply leading him to hell. Right? Because if you're doing things for self-realization, it's being done in connection to Krishna. So, since all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and their positions and their potencies of how they're functioning is all Krishna. Right? Therefore, then you can't give trouble to other living entities. You know, either on the gross or subtle platform. Because it's all connected to Krishna.
Yes.
So we have to deal according to what Krishna says. Although the foolish accept the body made of earth, water, and fire as me, and this earth as mine, in every case they have ultimately abandoned both their body and earth and passed away into oblivion. Right? They say, this body is me, and the earth is mine, but then they leave both. And then they're just a name. Right? All these kings who tried to enjoy the earth by their strength are reduced by the force of time to nothing more than historical accounts. Right? That's all that's left.
So Maharaj, according to this chapter, Symptoms of Kali Yuga, this means that we can learn detachment from this...
Yes. Yeah. That's the whole idea is that you know it's not a nice place, and so just move on.
No need to try to be a king.
Yeah. No need to try to be a king and be the fabulous person and all that. Because we see is that any case, even if you do, it'll only be accepted if it's secondary.
Yeah.
Even if you do wonderful things, if they're primary, no one will think it's great. But if it's secondary. Right? You know, like we said this morning, we have a discussion about the primary. Okay, enough about this. What about the secondary? Let's do something serious, something practical. You know, then we'll say, well, now we've already got something. Now we have something. Right? Yeah. So that's the... Chapter 3, the Bhumi Gita, Dialogue Overview. King Parikha was a compassionate, saintly ruler. Thus, after hearing the abominable qualities of the age of Kali, he naturally inquired as to how those born in this age can free themselves from its inherent contamination. Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, question 12.1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, from 12.3, 16 to 17. King Parikshit said, "My Lord, how can persons living in the age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? O great sages, please explain this to me. Please explain the different ages of universal history and special qualities of each age, the duration of cosmic maintenance and destruction, and the movement of time, which is the direct representation of the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu." Pratigya. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Adhyaya Prakashaka. The third chapter describes the laughter of the earth, the legs of Dharma, the faults of Kali, and remembrance of the Lord which destroys the influence of Kali. Sarada Tadarshini 12.3.1. Great kings, who are actually just playthings of death, desire to subdue their six internal enemies, the five senses and the mind, and afterwards they imagine they will go on to conquer the earth and all its oceans. Right? So they want to become powerful by controlling themselves, but they want to go on to control the earth. They're not using that for God consciousness. Right? After seeing their false hopes, the earth simply laughs, for eventually they all must leave this planet and go elsewhere, as have all the great kings and monarchs of the past. Moreover, after usurping the earth or some part of it, which is actually unconquerable and must in every case be given up, fathers, sons, brothers, friends, and relatives quarrel over it. But you can't actually control the earth, but she just goes on. You'll die, she'll still be here. Thus the story of history naturally leads to the conclusion that all worldly achievements are temporary. And this conclusion should give rise to a sense of renunciation. Ultimately, the highest goal of life for any living entity is pure devotion to Lord Krishna, which annihilates all inauspiciousness. In the age of Satya, religion was complete, still possessing its four legs of truth, mercy, austerity, and charity. With the coming of each succeeding age, starting with Treta, These religious qualities each diminish by one quarter. In Kali Yuga, the legs of religion retain only one-fourth of their power, and even that will be lost with the progress of the age. The mode of goodness is predominant during Satya Yuga, and the mode of passion is predominant during the Treta Yuga. The mixed modes of passion and ignorance are predominant during the Dwapara Yuga, and in the age of Kali, the mode of ignorance is predominant. Atheism, the smallness and inferiority of all things, and devotion to the genitals and belly are very much evident in the age of Kali. So some devotion is there. Right? You know, we're saying that there's no devotion, but there is. The smallness and inferiority of all things. Right? Living entities contaminated by the influence of Kali do not worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari. Even though they can become free from all bondage and easily achieve the supreme destination simply by chanting the glories of his name and taking shelter of him. But if somehow or other the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes manifest within the hearts of the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, then all faults of place, time, and personality inherent in the age will be destroyed. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but it possesses one great quality. Simply by the chanting of the name of Krishna, one can be delivered from material association and attain the absolute truth. All that was accomplished in the age of Satya by meditation, in the age of Treta by sacrificial performances, and in the age of Dwapara by temple worship, is easily gained during the Kali Yuga by the simple process of Hari Kirtana.
The famous verse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we come across a few of the famous verses. Yeah. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses 1 to 15, the Bhumi Gita, 16 to 30, descriptions of the Yugas, 31 to 43, the faults of Kali Yuga, 44 to 52, the benefit of Kali Yuga. Verses 1 to 15, the Bhumi Gita. Priti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the end of the last chapter mentioned how foolish people try to control the earth. This topic is enlarged through the descriptions made by the earth herself. Sukadeva Goswami said, seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her, the earth herself laughed. She said, quote, just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, are desiring to conquer me. Great rulers of men, even those who are learned, meet frustration and failure because of material lust. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of flesh called the body, even though the material frame is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. Kings and politicians imagine, quote, first I will conquer my senses and mind, then I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn pricks of my advisors, citizens, friends, and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way I will gradually conquer the entire earth. End quote. So, if you haven't conquered the keepers of your elephants, you have not attained complete sovereignty. Right? What? You say you have no elephants? Ah, now this is a problem. So that's why before you saw kings of the earth, and now you don't, because they don't have elephants. Right? In this way, I gradually... Because the hearts of these leaders are bound by great expectations, they fail to see death waiting nearby. After conquering all the land on my surface, these proud kings forcibly enter the ocean to conquer the sea itself. What is the use of their self-control, which is aimed at political exploitation? Right? So that's the thing, is that if you just learn how, you know, administration, management, these things just to control what's been gained. Because otherwise that's what goes on. They've been doing that since time immemorial, and especially in Kali Yuga. But in other ages they've all been doing this. So unless it's connected to Krishna and used to please Krishna, right, then it has no value, no meaning. The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation. Although in the past great men and their descendants have left me, departing from this world in the same helpless way they came into it, even today foolish men are trying to conquer me. For the sake of conquering me, materialistic persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons, and brothers fight one another. Because their hearts are bound to possessing political power. Right? So they'll fight because they want the political position. Right? It's not about protecting the people, it's just they want the power. Political leaders challenge one another. Quote, all this land is mine, it is not yours, you fool, end quote. Thus they attack one another and die. Footnote 2, Riti. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. My other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. Right? Because aristocratic means you're connected with wealth. Right? I shall perform sacrifices, right? Just for prestige, right? I shall give some charity. It doesn't say I will give charity. I will perform sacrifice. I will give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. Bhagavad Gita 16:13-15. So it's just the general demoniac mentality. So you see Kali Yuga becomes more prominent. Such kings as Prithu, Puru Rava, Gandhi, Nahusha, Bharata, Kritavirya, Arjuna, Mandata, Sagara, Rama, Katvanga, Dunduha, Raghu, Trinabindu, Yayati, Sharyati, Shantanu, Gaya, Bhagirat, Kuvala, Yashva, Kakutshta, Naishara, Nriga, Hiranyakashipu, Vrita, Ravana, so we can understand these are not necessarily in chronological order, who made the whole world lament, Namuchi, Shambhara, Bhauma, Hiranyaksha, and Taraka, as well as many other demons and kings who possessed great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge, heroic, all-conquering, and unconquerable. Nevertheless, O mighty Lord, although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. None of them could permanently establish their rule. Right, because now we just know them as a list of names. Right, they come in. Some may have a story, some may not have a story, like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura comments. Sridhar Swami says that the Rama mentioned here is not the son of Dasarath. It is another king. These kings had strong possessive instincts. They were not unsuccessful. They were successful since they attained their desires. They were full in form, qualities, and other features. But even then, they ultimately were only stories in history. What to speak of modern persons who are imperfect in attaining wealth and other things, right? So, they before were good at attaining what they were trying to do.
Yes.
You know, what their goals were, they got and all that on the material platform. And they couldn't maintain their position. They're just reduced to just a name, you know, names in history, let alone those in the contemporary environment, in the modern environment, right? So here, modern, the non-Vedic environment. So they're functioning and they're incomplete in gaining whatever it is, you know, let alone maintaining control.
Now, is a Kshatriya cannot do what can the other people expect?
Yeah, that's the whole point. If he's trying to control everything he can, then let alone everybody else. That's very good point. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My great purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. My real purpose, where did I get great from? My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. Right? So just knowing this, the point is to know as these kings are there, what they did and all that, how if they were God conscious they advanced, how they weren't, then, you know, just as has been described here, then they, you know, are just a list of names. So that whole point is that's the point he's mentioning them. For that knowledge, you know, how it connects to Krishna. But just to know, that's not his point. That's not his real point. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura comments. The purpose of telling about the dynasties of kings is here explained. What was the purpose of telling about great devotees like Priyavrata who attained the Lord? The listener should learn about the activities of these devotees. Since I had a desire to speak about their realization of the Lord and their renunciation. O great one, you will also be like them. I have spoken, not to show the power of words, but for you to gain the highest spiritual knowledge. So it's not just words and then how expert you are explaining. It's about how it's going to be connected to Krishna. And then how we, by following that, we can be connected to Krishna. Sukadev Goswami continued. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttamashloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. Right, regular hearings and throughout the day. So in other words, you should always be hearing about Krishna 24 hours a day. Yeah, it's always interesting how they always present these things. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura concludes, therefore one should continue to hear stories about these great devotees. But in talks about the stories of the Lord, one should hear the remarkable excellence in the stories concerning Krishna's eternal associates, which are superior even to the stories of these great devotees. Right? Because then you're seeing, one is you're seeing how they as sadhakas or that have come to their position and attained the mercy of the Lord. So that's important. But even more important is then hearing about the Lord's association with the devotees, his eternal associates. Because that will create the attachment to the Lord. Does that make sense? Because before that is that it will, you know, inspire that you can elevate yourself. But it's the attachment to the Lord is that the dynamic aspect of how all progress is there. Right? Yes, all qualities are gained.
Yes.
Right? This is what Jiva Goswami mentioning about. One is favorable for Preeti, another is experiencing the Preeti of the Lord.
Okay. Favorable towards, and then one is experiencing. Okay,
this
very
was
nice.
Experience
in
the previous
verse, favorable. Okay. It's favorable for experiencing. Okay.
So Maharaj, we can say that if we have the pastime of the king or the thing, this is favorable to bhakti?
Yes, that's what he's saying. It's favorable because then we see how others have followed the path and become successful.
Yes.
Then we get inspired.
Yes.
And at the same time is then you can taste that spiritual experience through hearing about the pastimes of the Lord with his eternal associates.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So the 10th canto is for how to taste that.
Yes.
The first 9 cantos are favorable to get you appreciate that. And then we see these last cantos are how to become detached from the material world so that you're just focused on the Lord.
Yes.
One who desires pure bhakti should constantly hear the stories revealing the qualities of the Lord, which are found here and there in other cantos, but are everywhere in the 10th canto. Mm-hmm. Thus, 4 points should be understood. Hear about devotees, hearing about Krishna's devotees, hearing the Bhagavatam, and hearing the 10th canto. Mm-hmm. Right? So then these are all these aspects are there. Verses 16 to 30, description of the Yugas. King Parikit said, my Lord, how can persons living in the age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? O great sages, please explain this to me. Please explain the different ages of universal history, the special qualities of each age, the duration of cosmic maintenance and destruction, and the movement of time. which is the direct representation of the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, in the beginning, during Satya Yuga, the age of truth, religion is present with all four of its legs intact, and is carefully maintained by the people of that age. These four legs of powerful religion are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. First, the characteristics of the yugas are described. Dharma is maintained by the people of Satyuga. Danam, translated as charity above, means saucham, cleanliness. Yeah, because when you give in charity, it also purifies. Interesting. Since the root dai means to clean, and dana also means cleaning, that is mentioned in the first canto. Right? Because you see some places that there's different lists, but it's actually the same list, just different, bringing out different aspects. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The people of Satyuga are, for the most part, self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. They take their pleasure from within, see all things equally, and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. In Treta Yuga, each leg of religion is gradually reduced by one quarter by the influence of the four pillars of irreligion, lying, violence, dissatisfaction, and quarrel." The four pillars of irreligion. Wow. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.